From the In-Between, How One Man Learned to Turn Division into Possibility. There's a man from the north of Ireland whose life story reads like it was specifically designed to prepare him for the work he'd go on to do, even if he didn't know it at the time. He grew up during the Troubles. If you're not familiar with that period, imagine living in a place where the tension between communities wasn't just political news. It was in the air you breathed, the street you walked, the way you sized up a stranger before deciding how much to say. For decades, Northern Ireland was defined by a bitter, often violent divide between communities that broadly identified as either Catholic, Irish nationalist, or Protestant, British unionist. The conflict claimed thousands of lives and left deep scars that haven't fully healed, even today. What made his upbringing unusual and ultimately significant, was that he didn't fit cleanly into either camp. He was raised Catholic, but his father served in the British Army. His wife is Protestant. His grandfather was a traditional Irish musician, but not a Republican or a nationalist. He grew up in the middle, in the in-between space that neither side had quite mapped out or claimed. And while that could easily have felt like belonging nowhere, it turned out to be one of the most valuable places a person could come from. Because when you grow up in the middle, you learn something important. People are almost always more complicated than the labels attached to them. One moment stands out as particularly formative. In November 1987, a bomb exploded at a remembrance ceremony in Enniskillen, a quiet market town not far from the border. 12 people were killed, 68 were injured. He was walking to Mass with his family when they passed a tall man in military uniform, completely covered in grey dust, looking utterly shell-shocked. They didn't know what had happened yet. They found out when the priest announced it from the altar. The wave of grief and incomprehension that moved through the congregation that morning, the sheer, why would anyone do this, stayed with him. Shortly after, he got an unexpected opportunity. He was invited to take part in something called the Ulster Project, which brought young Catholics and Protestants from Enniskillen to stay with families in Cincinnati. The idea was simple and quietly radical. Take teenagers who'd grown up in divided schools in a divided town and give them shared experiences and a place far from the front lines. He found it powerful, though he also noticed that some of the adults facilitating it, however well-meaning, weren't quite equipped for the delicacy of what they were trying to do. That observation planted a seed. Years passed, he kept learning. He trained with the Interaction Institute for Social Change. He studied Harvard's approach to principal negotiation. And perhaps most unexpectedly, he worked with an organization called Creativity Central, led by people who focused on reawakening the creative, imaginative instincts that most adults have been trained to suppress. The idea wasn't just about being creative for its own sake. It was about bringing every color to a problem, not just the black pen. About resisting the pull toward easy answers and staying present in complexity. All of that came together when he was asked to help with one of those situations that sounds almost too symbolic to be real, but it isn't. In Belfast, children from a Republican Catholic community needed to walk through a Loyalist Protestant neighbourhood to get to their school. That walk had become a flashpoint. Frightened children, furious adults, generations of mistrust condensed into a daily commute. He was asked if he could help. When he sat down with the parties, he did something that seemed small but turned out to matter enormously. He suggested they stop sitting facing each other across a table and instead sit side by side facing the same direction, facing the problem together. It sounds almost too simple, but there's something in it. When you're face to face with someone, the confrontation becomes personal. When you're side by side, you're both looking at the same thing. The shift isn't just physical, it's psychological. It quietly moves the conversation from me against you toward us and this thing in front of us. From there, the approach was about finding shared ground, not forcing agreement, not papering over real differences, but identifying what both sides actually cared about beneath all the noise. And what emerged slowly was something both obvious and moving. Everyone in that room wanted their children to be safe. They wanted them to be educated. They wanted them to have lives bigger than the conflict they'd inherited. There was one insight in particular that he found both sobering and hopeful. Many of the adults, however reluctantly, had come to see the conflict as something their children might just have to live inside of too. But when they thought about their grandchildren, something shifted. That generation felt different. That generation somehow felt like it deserved better. And that feeling created space. Not resolution, not reconciliation, not yet, but possibility. Eventually, and this is the part that moved him most, the two communities came together on their own. He hadn't pushed them. They'd noticed a change in each other's language, a softening in each other's tone, and they'd reached out. When each side asked him beforehand whether he was also working with the other, he replied simply, "What do you think?" He'd given them something that sounds modest but is actually quite rare. A shared language for talking about conflict. Not just the will to solve something, but the tools and the vocabulary to actually try. His deepest conviction is this. Bias is real. It runs deep, and much of it operates below the surface of our conscious awareness. But it can change, which means people can change, which means situations that feel locked and permanent aren't. The work, as he puts it, is helping people get back in touch with who they can be at their best. And sometimes it starts with something as simple as where you choose to sit.